Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to be with you this morning. I have two things I need to tell you about. One is about little Braylon. We need to add Braylon to the prayer list. He's got strep throat. Keep him in your prayers. And also just a reminder to the ladies that immediately after services this morning, there's going to be a meeting of the Ladies' Day in the library. So ladies interested in that and helping out and planning and all of that kind of thing, meet in the library immediately after services this morning. So keep that in mind. Yes, Wes.
I'm sorry I've had to give a song that's going to be out of your message this morning.
Okay.
So if you were mocking your hymnals number 642, that would be the song after it.
Number 642. Okay. We've been talking about living for Jesus in this series of lessons that we're doing. And how do we live our lives in a world that is full of corruption, a world that is full of sin and all kinds of things that are going on and almost seems to be at times out of control. The problem is, and as we've been saying all along, you know, we look at, you know, the Christian world, so to speak, and we find that, you know, Christians aren't a whole lot different in a lot of ways. Too many folks who are claiming to believe in God and claiming to belong to God are living just like the world is living. And when it comes to studying the scriptures, people want to treat the Bible kind of like a buffet where they get to pick and choose the parts that they like and accept that, and the parts they don't like, well, it's like, I'm going to leave that, you know, on the table there, not going to pay attention to any of that part. But what we've been focusing on with this is that as God's people, we're living in a world that is unholy, and we need to be striving to be holy. And so we need to reject those kinds of attitudes as Christians and make sure that what we're doing is what God wants us to be doing and living the way that God wants us to be living, because we're living in a very dysfunctional world. In fact, it is a world that is so dysfunctional that it's almost upside down. The question is, how do we, as God's holy people, how do we function? How do we operate in a world that is like this, where, as you've been hearing me say all along, dysfunctional is the new functional? In other words, things that, as we've said, things that were not very long ago that were wrong are now standard operating procedure. It's accepted, and things that were right are now turned into wrong. And yet we have to live in this environment. What do we do? So we're talking about, how do we live a godly life in a very ungodly, unholy world? Okay? Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world. Everybody agree with that?
Amen.
Okay. Now, the question and the issue needs to be for us to focus on, what are we going to do with that light? Are we going to allow that light to shine and be different, to be a light in the dark world that we live in, or are we going to just try to hide that light under a basket so nobody really sees who we are? Okay? In other words, how does what we do in our life, and we're talking about in a daily life, on a daily basis, how does what we do, how does the way that we live affect other people? Those in our homes, our families, those in our neighborhoods, the people that we interact with on a regular basis. What about the folks in our schools, if we're going to school, maybe as a teacher or a student? What about the folks on our jobs? How does the way that we live our life on a daily basis affect them? But then there's another question in this that we have to consider, and that question has to do with, what about ourselves? In other words, how does what we do and how we respond to things going on in the world around us, how does that affect us, ourselves? Okay? Both in our daily lives and how does it affect us for all eternity? In other words, we have to realize that the choices that we make, and as we've been saying throughout this study, it has to do with the things that we support. It's TV programming. It's politicians. It's all aspects of our lives that we support these things, and we involve ourselves in these things, some of which we should not be doing as God's people. Well, how does that affect us in our daily lives? And how does it affect us for eternity? Because we will have to answer to God for the way we live our lives. Okay? So again, we're talking about holy living in an unholy world, living our lives each day for Jesus. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about a subject that is, it's a tough one for me. All right? In fact, this one is a two-part lesson. We're going to talk about living with patience. Now, here I want you to understand this. I stepped on my toes an awful lot preparing these two lessons. Okay, because I'm just admitting to you, this is a struggle for me. Okay, this is a struggle for me. And so I hope that by the things that I share with you this morning on this topic, that it will help you if this is an area you struggle with. I realize there's a lot of you don't struggle with this. But there's a lot of folks that do, and I know I'm one of them. Okay, so let's talk about living with patience. And here's the, you know, we start out with this idea. You know, a lot of us, we want patience, right? Lord, give me patience, but we don't want to wait for it, right? Amen. You know, we want everything right now. In fact, our culture, I think, is running on empty when it comes to this whole issue of patience. We find people are not being very patient with one another on a wide scale today. Just stop and take a look at what's going on here in America. Across the country today, we are so divided over all kinds of different issues that just a simple disagreement over an issue will cause all kinds of problems. Because we're so impatient with one another. Okay? We as a people, we need to make sure that as God's people, that we're not causing any of those problems. You see? Because it's a problem for us in America today. We have this kind of an idea of life, this instant gratification idea. I want everything and I want it right now. We don't want to wait for anything. And by the way, it's not just the young people. Okay? You know, we like to be able to say, those of us in the older generation, like you said, well, as you young people, y'all need to straighten up, tighten up here. But we can't do that because it's not just the young people. It's all of us. You see? We want what we want, and we want it when? Right now. Look at the progression. This is, by the way, this is not something new. Okay? This is not something that's just happened in the last couple of years. All right? It's been going on progressively for a long, long time. All right? For some of you, you know, we like instant lunch, right? How many of you have a microwave oven in your house? Okay? Yeah, because we want to pick something to eat, and we want it when? Now. We want it right now, and we want it hot. Right? You see? Microwave ovens is probably one of the greatest inventions, okay, for mankind, but yet it feeds this whole idea of impatience, doesn't it? Some of you, you don't have to raise your hand and admit to this, okay? Some of you we know. Some of you remember these. Okay, some of you are looking at it going, what's that? Okay, Polaroid instant cameras. Way back in my day, okay, before these came out, you actually had to take a picture on a roll of film, and when you finish the roll, you take it out, you send it, or take it to have it developed, and then you get the pictures back several days later, right? When Polaroid cameras came out, it was like, oh my goodness, you can take a picture and 60 seconds later, you've got it right there. You can actually stand there and watch it develop before your eyes. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now, what do? We take out our phone. You see, we do this number right here. Take a picture. There it is. And less time than it takes to develop that Polaroid picture, I can send this to anybody in the world. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. We want to do everything fast. We want to do everything now. Because in so many ways we are so impatient. How about this one? How many of y'all have in Xfinity? The key here is on demand, right? It's on demand. We watch what we want to watch, when we want to watch it. It is on demand. And that, I think, defines so much of our lives today, isn't it? That we want everything on demand. Push a button and there it is. I mean, I don't know about you, but now we've got Comcast, all right? This is not an advertisement for DirecTV or anything, you know. But we have Comcast, but, you know, I sit there and I push the button on my remote, and it brings me a blank screen, and then it brings me another screen that says, you know, something about your equipment is not, you know, rated for this thing or whatever. And then I sit there and I wait for about 5 or 6, 10 seconds, and finally the picture comes on. And I go, it's cable. Change the channel, it does the same thing, you know. And then I get frustrated going, why can't it just come on when I push the button, right? Because that's what we want. We want to push the button and boom, there it is, it happens. Because we don't want to wait for anything. Here's kind of how we live our lives in a lot of ways, isn't it? You see? Impatience is a common human problem, but here's the thing. It shouldn't be something that God's holy people need to be practicing. We've got to learn how to overcome this. And when I say we, as I said to you earlier, I'm right at the front of that line, brethren. Okay? This is something that I know for myself. I've got to overcome that. The problem is that with things going on the way they are in the world, it's not going to get easier to do that. It's going to get sometimes more difficult, okay? But we've got to learn how to be patient. All right? James, and that's where we're going to go in this study next 2 weeks. We're going to be in James chapter 5. And we're going to look at how James focuses our attention on patience in the face of suffering. All right? Now, it's one thing to be impatient because the cable TV won't change the channel fast enough for us, or the microwave oven's not heating up the food fast enough. But it's a whole other thing to be struggling with being patient in the face of real suffering. And that's what we really need to focus on in this study, is being patient when I'm struggling, when I'm suffering with something going on in my life. James said, beginning in verse 7, "Be patient then, brothers, until..." Okay, be patient until what? Notice that his focus here is on the Lord's coming. The Lord is going to come back one day, but we need to be patient until that time comes. We need to live as God's holy people, patiently waiting for the Lord to come back. And sometimes that's tough to do. But that's why James has written these things, to encourage us to learn how to do that. And he gives a couple of examples, and we're going to focus more on the examples next week in our lesson. But he says, see how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. Then he says, you too, be patient and stand firm. Why? Because the Lord's coming is near. The Lord's coming is near. Now you say, well, yeah, but he wrote that 2,000 years ago and the Lord hadn't come back yet. He's still saying it's near. Well, it is. It's near. It's near just as much for us today as it was for them 2,000 years ago. You say, well, how can that be? Well, it can be because we never know when that's going to be.
Amen.
The fact remains that he's coming back. But we don't know when. And so his coming is near.
Amen.
Okay, it's near. The abuses that the world is putting upon us, and that means God's people, and it's happening more and more and more. And those abuses can easily bring about impatience. And that's kind of the context, so to speak, that James writes these things in. Here's an example. Here's a picture of a display at a VA clinic. And I don't remember exactly where this clinic is, but a VA clinic somewhere here in the States. If you notice, the picture on the left, in the corner of the table, there's a Bible. And somebody complained about the Bible being on that display at a VA center And so the picture on the right shows the Bible was removed because somebody complained about the Bible being there. We need to be patient as God's holy people because these attacks on our faith, okay, they're only going to increase. All right? They're not gonna stop anytime soon. Because the dysfunctional, unholy world that we live in is trying to do everything it can to push Christianity out of public society. That's the world that we're facing. And so what do we do? Well, James says we need to be patient because the Lord's coming is near. Well, what does that really mean? Okay? When we talk about patience, what do we mean by patience? What is James talking about when he talks about patience and tells us to be patient in the face of suffering? What does he mean? Okay, let's make sure we have a proper understanding of patience. We tend to think of patience as being the person that passively endures whatever comes in life without complaining or making any effort to change things. In other words, kind of like that milquetoast, it's like, there's nothing I can do about it. I just got to sit here and put up with it. That's not the biblical concept of patience, and we need to understand that. Okay? In order for us to get a proper understanding, let's look at the Greek words that are used in the Bible for patience. The first one is makrothymia, and that word basically means long-tempered, suggesting slow to anger. Okay? Be patient. Don't get angry, at the flash of anything. Just, first reaction you have is something happens, you get angry. No. Be patient. Be slow to anger. The other word, okay, hypomone, means or implies, look at this, courageous resistance, endurance and fortitude in the face of hardship. Okay? So it talks about this idea of being able to resist, whatever we're having to face, but to do it in a proper way. Okay? It is courageous resistance. It's endurance with fortitude. But when you put that together with the other word, then it's taking the whole anger issue out of there, isn't it? See? And I don't know about you, but when I'm finding myself getting impatient, then the anger part is what I struggle with. Okay? That's where my struggle is. And so that's a part that I know for myself personally, I gotta work on that part. I can wait. Okay, I can endure, but all the while I'm enduring, I'm getting angry. And the longer I have to endure, the angrier I can get. See, neither one of these words we need to understand suggests this passive resignation to things as they are. That's not what James is telling us we need to do. Now, we have to understand and realize there are some things we can't change, okay, that we do have to accept that this, and I think the way our society is going, our culture is going, we can't change that. You can't turn that back. If you go back and look out through history, of cultures throughout history, we're just repeating what has happened through cultures throughout history, okay? So we cannot change and turn the clock back and change the culture back to the way it was in the good old days. All right? But we can change the way we respond and the things that we do in the face of what is going on in our culture, okay, and in the world that we live in. As we've said all along through this, we're responsible for what we do, not for what other people are doing.
That's right.
Okay? Now, so what do we do? What James is really suggesting is that, first of all, we have a willingness to endure until better things come along. And ultimately, when is that better thing going to be? When the Lord comes back. See, now, isn't that what he says in the context? Okay? The Lord's day is near. Okay? And that waiting period. So in other words, yeah, the Lord's coming back again, and all this is going to end, and we won't have to put up with this anymore. So, but what do we do in the meantime? Okay, well, it's that waiting period that we have, and that period should be filled with a bunch of prayer. Okay? And a bunch of faith. Not just simple resignation. God doesn't want us to give up on the world, and certainly not on Him.
Right.
If we give up on the world, then we'll go forget the world, and we'll kind of climb into our shell, and we'll stop sharing God's word with other people. That's resignation. That's not what God wants, and that's not what patience is all about. Okay? So we need to continue in prayer and in faith, and we need to continue sharing God's word with anyone that will listen.
Yes.
Say, being patient until the Lord comes back. We need to realize that impatience is a hazard to our spiritual health. It can cause us a lot of problems if we don't get a handle on it. Impatience puts us in spiritual jeopardy in several ways. I want to share with you three ways this morning that impatience puts us in spiritual jeopardy. First is, it often causes us to mistreat other people. Okay? You get frustrated with somebody over something, and how do you respond and react to whatever that frustration is? I'll be honest with you. I quit, and I've got a problem, an ongoing problem with Comcast. Okay, I just quit. Because I found myself getting so angry trying to talk to those people, customer service on the phone. I just quit. I said, whatever. I just put up with it. In that regard, it's like I'm just not going to fight this anymore because it's not good for me to respond that way. No, I did not call the customer service people any bad names. Okay? But I know that in some of my phone calls and conversations with them, if I would have told them, I'm a preacher, they would have gone, I'm a preacher, I don't go there. And I'm not saying that proudly. I'm just telling you that because that's a struggle for me. And because we oftentimes, when we're struggling, when somebody's mistreating us or whatever, then we can oftentimes do the same to other people. And we get impatient.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't behave very well towards other people.
Right.
Just because someone's mistreating us or we're not getting done what we need to get done is no excuse for us to mistreat other people.
Amen.
All right? Amen. The Apostle Paul gives us a definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13, and one of the characteristics or qualities of love is patience. So I suggest to you that it is impossible for us to be loving and impatient at the same time.
Yeah.
All right? This right here is where I find my biggest problem. I filled out a questionnaire yesterday on with the security questions for different accounts. Hopefully, I had to renew my security questions. And one of the questions, this is kind of weird. I thought this was strange, but it said, "What is one of your biggest pet peeves?" And I said, "Other drivers is my biggest because this is a struggle for me." I think like a state trooper when I get behind a moron that's driving down the... Did I say that? You see what I'm talking about? And that's the struggle. Is that, we find ourselves... And that's for me. I don't know what yours is. It may be something else. It may be your teacher at school or your boss or your coworker or whatever and the peculiarities of them. Whatever your pet peeve is, whatever your thing is that causes you to take it out on other people. Jesus' name, and to behave badly.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a hazard to our spiritual health when we do that. Secondly, impatience often disrupts Christian fellowship. Okay? We get impatient with one another. You know, we're not just talking about the morons that are out there, unfaced, unnamed morons that are out there driving crazy on the highways. We're talking about one another, the faces and the names that we see and we know in our lives, in our family, that we can get impatient with. And when others mistreat us, oftentimes we take it out on those that are closest to us. Okay? And even if that person that's causing us the anxiety or whatever is a loved one, all right, there's still no excuse for us to treat them badly. But oftentimes that's what we do. Okay? And it's really, really difficult for us to have unity when we're constantly complaining and being impatient with one another. In verse 9, we're going to look at this in the next couple of slides here. Look at this. First of all, you know, James tells us don't grumble against each other. Okay? Stop grumbling against one another. Now, you know, James is writing to the church. Okay? So grumbling against one another must have been a problem for folks in the church back then.
Well.
All right? Is it a problem for people in the church today?
Yeah.
It sure is. It sure is. And that's why James says, don't do that. Stop grumbling against one another. Okay? And the third is that impatience simply causes us to sin. Let's look at that verse again. Look at something else. Notice something else that he says here in this verse. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or what? You will be judged.
Amen.
You will be judged. We need to understand and realize the nature of sin. And yes, the sin of impatience. That we will have to give an account for that. Here's an example. 1 Samuel chapter 13. How sin brought on by impatience. Okay? Here's King Saul. Now Saul is waiting for Samuel to arrive at the place where he is so that Samuel can offer a sacrifice before Saul takes his army against the Philistines. And Saul grew impatient while he's waiting for Samuel to get there. And so in his impatience, what did Saul do? He offered the sacrifice himself, which was prohibited by God for him to do.
Right.
Now, interestingly enough in the story, what happens is, right after Saul made this sacrifice himself, guess who showed up? Yeah. Samuel shows up right afterwards, and he rebuked Saul.
Man.
For what he had done. Let's listen to what Samuel said to Saul. You acted foolishly, Samuel said. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure.
Man.
The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's commands. So you see how sometimes impatience can cause us to disobey God.
Amen.
Quite simply. And we find ourselves in sin. verse 10 and the first part of verse 11, James writes this: "Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered." We're going to talk more about this part next week in our lesson, and also about Job. As he continues on in the second part of verse 11, "You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy."
Amen.
So next week, as we look at part two of this idea of being patient, living for Jesus with patience, we're going to focus on these two. And some other things we're going to talk about, but we're going to go here and talk about them a little bit. Because there's some great examples here for us. How do we overcome the struggle that we have? If it's a struggle for us, how do we overcome that struggle of dealing with being impatient? See? And that's what we want to be able to focus on. But in the meantime, here's a warning for us all. Okay? Don't fall under the same judgment as Saul because of impatience. As I told you as I began this morning, this is something that I personally struggle with. Okay? I figure that if I'm struggling with it, I know there's at least one or two others in here that probably do too.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You know, I might have stepped on your toes a little bit. I might have crushed your toes a little bit. But understand, first of all, as I've said many times, well, I don't apologize for that. Okay? And secondly, my own toes are hurting pretty much, too. But you know, that's part of why we get together, why God brought His church together the first day of every week, so that we could encourage one another and help one another to overcome the stuff that we deal with and the struggles that we have in life. Because God did not create us to exist in isolation. He brought us together as family so that we could help one another. And that's what we want to do. With one another, to help each other overcome the struggles that we face as best that we can. And that's no different with this struggle here. If it's a struggle that you have, and again, some of you, I know you don't have that problem. Impatience is not an issue for many of you. I know that. But I know for many of us also it is.
That's fair, man.
And so, you know, if this is an area of your life that you're struggling with, if it's especially if it's to the point where it's causing sin problems, then I want to urge you to let's repent of that. I'm asking right now for your prayers for me to help me to really deal with and overcome this problem in my life. And I'm at the same time encouraging anybody else that's struggling with this. You need prayers and encouragements and guidance, whatever it is, let us know that, because that's what we want to do, is help each other. There's somebody here this morning who's not giving their life to Christ, and you're not a Christian, then you can do that right now, this morning. You're not had your sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You're not giving your life to Christ. You can do that right now. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life and restore or reconcile your relationship with God, then call upon Jesus as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. You're not going to wait if you're ready to make that commitment. We're going to stand together and sing a song that Wes has chosen. What's the number again, Wes?
642.
642. We use that as an invitation song. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. And I'll be right up front to receive anyone that would like to come up here. Let's stand together and sing.